And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this fourth week of July 2024. On the podcast today, we're going to 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. As we study about God's question about David building his house. So for the last little while on the broadcast and on the podcast, we've been in 1 Chronicles 17. We're going to go back over here to 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And so go ahead and be turning to 2 Samuel 7. I do want to say that I sure do appreciate each and every one who support the broadcast and the podcast. Supporting the broadcast helps the podcast. Supporting the podcast helps the broadcast. Because at the moment, at least, the podcast audio is almost the same as the broadcast audio. There's a couple of things that I omit at the beginning and at the end, but the middle portion I strive to make as close to the same as possible. And so that's what the Lord has led me to do, and it's just the way I have to do it right now. I have to duplicate any edits from the broadcast over to the podcast in a separate project. And so that makes it just a little bit of a challenge to make sure that the content's the same. But I don't have to cut time for the podcast, and I don't have to stretch for time for the podcast. I can let it go. And most of my edits are that kind of edit. I'll edit out silence or edit out a little extraneous wording, some ums and ahs and stuff like that for the broadcast, because it has to fit a certain time slot, whereas the podcast does not. And so but the content is the same. That's what the Lord has dealt with my heart to do, is that the core content is the same between the two. All right. First Chronicles chapter number 17 gives us one perspective on the Davidic covenant. And last week we talked at length about the Davidic covenant, at least as it stands with the other covenants of the Old Testament. Now today we're going to go in and we're going to start looking in some detail at this covenant and what it has to say. And the Lord's given me a thought that I really haven't ever heard before. I'm sure somebody's preached it. There's nothing new. It's just new to me. And maybe it's new to you. If it's not new to you, write me. Let me know. Let me know you heard somebody else preach it. And maybe even who you heard. That'd be great. I'd appreciate that. All right. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And I'm going to begin reading with verse number 4. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? I'm going to stop there. This is the beginning of what God is saying to David. And there's a lot in this one little statement. This little statement hits me like a ton of bricks. Shalt thou build me an house? Shalt thou build me an house? And there's several ways we can say it. We can say, shalt thou build me a house? Or shalt thou build me an house? It just depends on where the accent is. And so let's look at this, because there's some statements that the Lord's making here that we need to think about in our Christian walk. Number one, it starts with the word shalt. You know, it's not the intent that God's addressing here. It is the execution of the intent. The intent being addressed would be phrased, Wilt thou build me a house? And by starting with wilt, It becomes a different question. The question is, are you going to intend to do it? Are you going to intend to do it? Now, David has the intent. David wants to do something for the Lord. He wants to make a house for the Lord. He sees his own house. He's got some ideas. And he wants to give God a place of honor. And that is a very good thing to want to do. Let's make that clear. It's a very good thing to want to do. But, he doesn't say, wilt thou? He says, shalt thou? He's questioning, you sure you can do this? Are you sure you're able? You know, the New Testament records, Jesus says, if somebody is going to build a tower, does he not count the cost before building it? Lest he only have enough to get it halfway and then be ashamed because he can't finish it. Unfinished projects litter my past, I tell you. I've got so many unfinished projects around the house and things that I wanted to get done and to do, and then priorities changed, and I've got remnants of projects strewn all over my basement. I guarantee you. And it's an embarrassment. It really is. No matter what the project is, it's an embarrassment when you realize that you weren't able to finish a project. But because it's unfinished, you feel like you got to keep it. You know, we all can probably say that about things. Those people who are able to finish everything they start, thank you. That's great. Bless your heart. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. I'm serious. I'm sincere. That is such a blessing. Be thankful that you can finish what you start. But a lot of people, myself included, have a lot of unfinished projects and projects that'll never be finished. And in many cases, we're too proud to admit that we sunk a bunch of money into something that now we're not either able or willing or have the time. It's not a high enough priority anymore to finish. Things have happened, you know. Circumstances have changed. You no longer had the money to do it, or have the money to do it when you did previously. Or, you know, situations have changed in the family to where you don't have time to do it anymore. And so God starts off saying, shalt thou build me a house? He's saying, you sure you can do this, David? You sure you're able to do what you've got in your mind to do? You know, there are people who work best as planners. People who have grand designs. You know, there's several different types of people. The type of people that I don't like to be around are the complainers. You know, complainers who they're constantly finding things wrong with stuff. Now, there's a place for that. Let's be completely upfront about it. There's a place. Somebody needs to declare that there's a problem. Finding the problem is sometimes the most difficult part of solving a problem. Is number one, admitting that there is a problem and defining the problem. There are people that are very, very good at finding problems. And people, there's people who need to be good at doing that. You know, security experts in many cases, whether it be physical security or cybersecurity or you know, prison security or bank security, they need to find the faults in existing security. I get to do this quite often in my normal everyday job of that involves cybersecurity. And so seeing the faults, finding the faults is an important part of that. Determining the solution to those faults is a different job. Yeah, it is. There are people who are very good at saying what's wrong. And then there are people who are very good at finding solutions once they know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Somebody can say, well, this is wrong with this because of that. And somebody else can say, well, here's the solution. Solution finders, problem solvers. You need somebody to identify the problem, yes. But then you also need somebody to solve the problem. And then you've got people who can design the solution versus people who are able to actually implement the solution. And that takes a different mindset. Implementation of big solutions is a project manager. But you need an estimator to go into, you know, the commercial world. You need an estimator to give a cost to the customer. Then you need a negotiator to negotiate that price. And then you need the designer of the project and the project manager. The project manager actually makes it happen. They may not be the architect, but they make it happen. And they carry out the architect's designs. And sometimes the architect has some unimplementable portions of their design, and it's up to the implementer, the project manager, to get as close as possible to the architect's intentions while staying within the bounds of reality. And so you have planners, designers, then you have implementers. David is a designer. He's got designs. And God starts off the question shout. Can you really do this? Do you understand what you're really wanting to do, David? Are you really aware of just how difficult this implementation is going to be? Are you really aware? Shout thou, build me a house. If we take the accent and put on the next word, shout thou, build me a house. Can I put it this way? I don't mean any insult to David. I don't mean any sacrilege to what the Bible records. But I want to ask a question. Just who does David think he is, that he's worthy to build God a house? Just who does he think he is? You know, if you go up to the President of the United States and say, I want to build you whatever it is you want to build, who do you think you are that you're the right one to do it? That's part of what God's saying here. Shalt thou build me a house? Now, yes, David was a man after God's own heart, but David had some issues. There's some reasons why David ends up not being the one to be able to build the house. And we're going to probably post, once I can relocate the message, we're going to probably post a message that I preached at Macedonia several years back on David didn't get to build the house, but he got to make the plans. And I've been looking for it a little bit. I've not found it yet, but when I do find it, I'm going to process that down, listen to it again, and then probably post that on the podcast as a podcast special episode, podcast exclusive episode, because it'll be longer. It's going to be longer than a typical broadcast would be, and trying to split it up on a broadcast is difficult because of the time constraints. And so this will probably be a podcast exclusive when I do post it. And I'll let you know over the broadcast when I do post it. I'm not going to just post it without a little bit of notice. It won't be this week probably, but yeah, be watching the podcast. You might get surprised. Okay, be watching the podcast, www.lamarowen.net for the podcast. David didn't get to build the house. He did get to plan for it. He did get to prepare for it. And so the Lord's saying, David, do you really know what you're asking? It's kind of like the mother of the sons of Zebedee going to the Lord and saying, Lord, grant it that my sons can sit one on your right hand and one on your left. And his response is, do you know what you're asking? And then the Lord says it plainly. He says, those places are not mine to give, but to whom they're built for is who they're going to be given to. The place of the two witnesses, the two olive trees mentioned in the Old Testament, beside Christ, the two witnesses of the book of Revelation, is more than likely the same two. And that's the law and the prophets embodied by Moses and Elijah. More than likely. I say more than likely because the Bible does not come out and say that. But It hints toward that. In the book of Revelation, it doesn't say my two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. That's not what it says. But through the Old Testament, we find that that is the most reasonable conclusion from taking the Old Testament as a whole, that the law and the prophets are the two witnesses. And so the two witnesses represented by Moses and Elijah. Now, there are some who would say Enoch and Elijah. There are some who say Elijah and John the Baptist. And, okay, I can see the arguments there. I'm not going to get bent out of shape over a difference of opinion on that. I'm not. That's just not going to happen. But the mother of Zebedee's children makes that statement. And the Lord, I can almost hear him chuckle a little bit. He says, can they drink of the cup that requires? Do you know what you're asking for? I'm afraid that a lot of times we get all full of ourselves and we say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And the Lord's answer is, shalt thou do this? Shalt thou build me a house? And so David has to consider who he is first. And there's some things about who he is that you have to go back and study. And again, that's part of the message that I preached a long time ago about that. And again, we'll post that on the podcast soon, more than likely. I'm going to have to re-listen to it first. And if I listen to it and I see that it's not suitable for some reason, maybe audio quality reasons or whatever, then I'll let you guys know. All right. But that's the second word. Shalt thou. What about the third word? Shalt thou build me a house? You know, David is really making a statement when he says, I'm going to build a house for the Lord. The Lord even goes as far as to say, you know, I've not dwelled in the house of cedars. I've dwelled in tents, and that's been sufficient. That's what I ordained for the purpose. And, you know, if this were a modern day situation and somebody wanted to do something for me and you know, it's the best they can do, I might say, well, I'm flattered, but. And maybe the Lord's saying something similar to that. He's not going to let David build the house for several reasons, some of which are obvious, some of which are not. God knows what David's getting ready to do a little bit later. He knows. And that doesn't need to be the legacy. But also, the Lord knows David better than David does. And, you know, there are some people who are excellent carpenters. And then there's me. I'm not a carpenter. You know, I probably could learn some of it, but it takes a talent. It takes a skill. Not everybody is cut out to be a rock mason or a block mason or a carpenter or a builder at all. Not everybody's cut out for that. And so, David, are you sure? You sure that you can build this? That you can build this? And, you know, David's design is great. Solomon ends up building it. Solomon was the better manager, apparently. David, on the other hand, not so much. And plus, David had other things that he needed to be doing. David had other situations. Now, David had rest from all his enemies. He's got a little bit of time on his hands. And he's thinking about things he needs to do. And he wants to build God a house. He wants to honor God with that house. That's his intent. His intentions are pure. But the Lord says, shalt thou build me a house? The Lord's saying, I am too big for a house. Can your house hold me? Is there a construction that can actually hold the Lord? No. The Lord dwells in a tent. that he gave the architecture for. And the architecture of that tent had designs to keep a holy God from just absolutely destroying the people around him. And that's the thing. If a thrice holy God actually came into our churches and sat down in a pew today, everybody in the church would fall over dead, because we can't stand the presence of a holy God. And so God says, you going to build this? Shalt thou build me an house? Shalt thou build me an house? That's the opposite of shalt thou build me an house. It's shalt thou build me an house. David, do you know who I am? It's not as much as, David, how humble are you? Who do you think you are? But now it's, David, who do you think I am? That I can dwell in a house. That I can be in a house. That you can contain me in a house. And, you know, God wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth wherever people are. The house that God wants to be in is the house of the heart within individuals. That's where God wants to dwell. We can't limit God to just one building. We can't limit God to the church house. God belongs outward in the whole world. Christianity is not intended just to stay within the four walls of the church. Christianity is a life and a walk and the way you are. We cannot restrict the Lord to one building. Shalt thou build me an house? Shalt thou build me an house? What kind of house does God deserve? Oh, goodness. He deserves something the finest. He deserves the best. You know, I believe that the house of the Lord, the church, ought to be the best cared for building in the entire community. And I'm not talking about fancy. I'm talking about real. Real materials. Solid wood. Good, solid construction, not cheap, in other words. Not just the cheapest material that you can find. The house of the Lord ought to be real. Not puffing up, not falsely regal or too fancy. That's the word I'm looking for, is too fancy. There's a fancy word for it, but I'm not even going to use it. You can look up some words that mean what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a church house looking fancier than it needs to look, because the Lord dwells in the hearts of humble men. But at the same time, just because you're humble doesn't mean you ought to not try to be the best you can. And likewise with the house of the Lord, it needs to be an humble place, but it needs to be the best taken care of, humble place in the entire community. So this statement that Nathan hears first from the Lord has so many different aspects to it. Shalt thou build me a house? 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 So many questions that God asks with this one sentence. In one sentence, God questions everything. You worthy to build it? Is it worthy of me dwelling in it? Who do you think I am, David? Oh, my. Oh, my. And I want to thank you for listening to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. This podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church, located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To write, to correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week on the I Want to Know More podcast.